The New Pornographers auf Flux FM mit Whiteout Conditions. So heißt auch die neue Platte, die am 7.4. erschienen ist. Und heute spielt die Band im schönen Lido. Die Band, die man ja mittlerweile durchaus zu Recht als Supergroup bezeichnen darf. Wir sprechen mit Carl Newman, der ist der Chef der Bande, der ist bei mir im Studio. Wir reden ein bisschen über die neue LP und die krautrockigen Anteile dieser Platte. Wir finden heraus, wie schwierig es ist, den Laden zusammenzuhalten, wenn einzelne Mitglieder wie Nico Case eben auch Solokarrieren bespielen müssen. Wir reden über den Begriff des Artivists und über amerikanische Musikerkolleginnen, die vielleicht schon mal angerufen haben und gefragt, können wir nicht auch mitspielen bei den New Pornographers? Wir haben keinen Bock mehr auf die US of A. Zunächst aber heißt es, hello and welcome, Carl.
Hey, thanks.
How are you doing today?
Good. You know, I realized being in Germany and realizing that I've referenced Krautrock on this record makes me feel really embarrassed. No. But I've backpedaled on it.
Yeah.
Like I always, when people ask me about it, I say, you know, it was more like the idea.
Yeah.
Like it was like more like the idea or the memory of Krautrock.
We just sort of took that. You didn't study the genre. I found out about that as well.
Not at all.
You are basically avoiding discussions with the Krautrock professors in Germany.
Yeah.
Nothing else but study the whole genre for years and years and years. It's not what the new record is about, right?
No, it was just that. You know, there's a certain kind of beat that a lot of those bands use. That's sort of like, and I thought I always loved music like that, and we'd never done it. So I thought, let's do that, and that's about as.
Yeah,
I mean, that's about as far as we got into it, and it seemed like a
that's good though.
Yeah, and it seemed like a good reference point.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's an interesting thing to work with as a composer, I guess, because when you're working on A.C. Newman songs or Pornographer songs, you can probably change the beat a little bit for the bridge, and then there's another element in the rhythm that happens only in the chorus, and all the chord changes are happening. So that's a way to approach a composition. But with Krautrock, you can leave there's one element that just keeps on going.
Yeah,
keeps on going.
We were really into the idea of drones.
Yes,
like that song we just heard, Whiteout Conditions. Mm-hmm. I think there's probably about three or four things just going that go through the whole song.
Yeah,
and to me that was new because, like you were saying, a lot of our songs would the rhythm would change or it would break down.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of making the songs really streamlined.
Yeah.
Like not a lot of chords. They just start and they just motor to the end.
Yeah, and I love that, and I've always loved that about Krautrock, because once you listen to that music open-mindedly, you're going to get into a tunnel kind of thing that's not... I mean, it might happen with techno as well or something else, but in the rock world, it doesn't happen too often that you get into that trance-like thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it happen on stage as well with the new songs that you're flying away in these drony session-y things?
I think we never spend too long. It's not like we play the same chord for 4 minutes straight with nothing else. And I think that's when... Yeah, you really get into it. That's when your mind. That's when the music starts.
Yeah.
It starts changing in your mind. It's like I always think of Sister Ray by the Velvet Underground as being a classic example of that.
Yeah,
it's so long.
Yeah,
it's so long and repetitive, and it just morphs, and you start wondering, did I just imagine that happening, or is that actually happening?
You know, that's true.
Because it's and I think with those long Noi or listening to You Do Right by Can is 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's just a...
Yeah, yeah,
after
yeah.
a while, it's just a... Yeah, you gotta let your mind go.
That's true. But there's this one conscious thing about Krautrock that I've always loved as well, and it's the thing that in 70s Germany, it was an attempt to break with the generation before. You know, the parents and the grandparents were part of the Nazi regime.
Yeah.
They were active parts of the Nazi regime, and the genre was invented to kind of break with the generation before and explore new grounds and do something really new, start over again. And I was thinking if the whole there's no need for you as the band, the New Pornographers, to break with your Nazi parents because they're not Nazis.
Yes.
Or they haven't been, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe it was a good idea or a good philosophy to base a new start for the band on, kind of.
Yeah. And But it was more just arrangement. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I'm always going to write a similar kind of song. You know, I can't help it. But I can change, like, the way I arrange it.
Yeah.
So I can take that song I wrote on my acoustic guitar and give it, like, a bizarre sort of, like, motoric beat with arpeggiators going. Yeah. And that is fun. But, I mean, yeah, definitely... You know, it's definitely not the same politics behind our music that there was behind, you know, all those classic bands. But we're still basically like a bubblegum band.
The bubblegum version of krautrock.
Yes.
That's what you delivered, maybe, yeah. But I think there are some similarities between krautrock still and the new Pornographers record. Because, I mean, krautrock was a genre that... often happened without lyrics. Nobody explained the whole concept. There was a song and it was going on forever.
Yeah.
And you had to think, oh yeah, that's the music that I can forget. That's the soundtrack for me, so I can forget what my parents have done, maybe, or my grandparents mm-hmm. have done. But there's nothing explained about that. And I feel that the new Pornographers, in times like these, they have a political side to them as well, and it's subliminal a little bit. It's like a collective. That's the first thing that one can see as a
well. It's
women and men.
It's women and men, and you know, and it's even multicultural now.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a political statement, I think. Just to go on stage and go, look at us, we're playing together.
Yeah.
You know, we're not you know. We're women and men, and we're equals.
Yeah.
And it's not like the women are standing behind us and they're just like chiming in on the background vocals, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you're a band like this, and the image that you transport when you go on stage is that exact image that you just described to us. You don't have to sing songs like "Heal the World" anymore, right? Because the message, the medium is the message, like Marshall McLuhan would say.
Yes, I've always felt that way.
Yeah.
Like how much I've always thought, like, how clear do I have to be in songs? Like, I feel like it feels unnecessary to me.
Yeah.
You know, if I feel like so much of it is in, the feeling of the music.
Yeah, that's true. But nowadays, I mean, in times like these, more and more bands are at least thinking about writing one protest song for their next record, because there's actually a lot of stuff that you could protest about if you're a thinking individual and if you're an open-minded person who doesn't want to have a future that's racist and just a liberal market thing. You know what I'm saying? There's many things that one could say. And I was talking to the Dead Press like a few years ago. They were here 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, the Bigger Than Hip Hop crew.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they told me about their approach, and they told me that they see themselves as artivists nowadays. It's like a combination of an artist and an activist.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting. But would you say that it's necessary to become an artivist for all the artists out there in times like these? Or might it be cool for some of them to just stay relaxed and sing their love songs still?
You know, I think even if your lyrics aren't about everything that's happening, I think it's important to, like, if you have a public voice, like, make sure that people know what you believe.
Yeah.
I think anybody who follows me on Twitter is pretty sure
that you're not a Trump supporter.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty fierce about it, and because I feel like it's nothing, you know, maybe it's just pissing into the wind, but I feel like I have to do it. I have to say, no, I absolutely despise what's going on. And it's hard to put that into a good song.
That's true, yeah. And that's when the song gets boring, when it's just like, you know, somebody shouting on a demonstration or something like that, or when it's just, I don't know, political slogans. When it's just slogans, then it gets boring. That's
and also,
what I wanted to say.
We've been listening to the new Run the Jewels record a lot.
Yeah.
And I listen to that and I think, yeah, this is really political music. And this it seems very powerful. And I think me trying to do it, like, it just, like, the kind of music I write,
yeah,
just, I mean, because you know, it makes me think of things like white privilege.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I really know?
Yes.
What do I really know about suffering in America? Because I don't.
Yeah. How hard are our lives in comparison to a young black teenager in the United States who must be afraid to get shot like every time he leaves the house?
And things like that makes me hesitant to put it, because I feel like if I took that message and put it into a pop song, it might sound flippant. It might sound it might sound too light.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of hip hop music has like this weight and anger to it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it works better.
Yeah. And they work with punchlines, right? So they can have this super clear political message and combine it with a brilliant punchline and they shout it out. There's no melody in the lyrics.
Yeah.
And then it's gonna work instantly. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. Like, if you put that super nice melody on words like, I don't like the Trump administration.
Yeah, it
sounds cheesy and stupid.
But I mean, at the same time, the song High Ticket Attractions is very much about Trump.
Yeah.
Like I wrote that during the campaign, and it was basically the feeling of like, oh man, things could get really bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, which was not necessarily an FU. It was just like something, you know, like, I don't like where this world is heading. Yeah. You know, it was more like an anxiety over this world that could be.
Yeah. Anxiety is a topic that is happening on that very record.
Yeah.
I think. And now you've mentioned the song, let's listen to it. Okay. High Ticket Attractions.
It just happens to be here.
It's so crazy. The New Pornographers mit High Ticket Attractions auf Lux FM. Wir quatschen gleich noch ein bisschen weiter und verlosen dann noch Tickets für die Show heute Abend im Lido. The New Pornographers und High Ticket Attractions. Carl Newman, der Erfinder oder der Chef von der Formation The New Pornographers, er ist immer noch bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen noch ein bisschen über die Herangehensweise an die Platte. Wir haben ja schon erfahren, dass man sich durchaus vom Genre Krautrock hat inspirieren lassen, ohne das jetzt richtig zu studieren, aber man hat sich quasi eine eigene Idee vom Krautrock gemacht und in diese Richtung komponiert und musiziert und das ist ja insgesamt sehr, sehr gut gelungen. Now, you've always written on your own when it came to writing for The New Pornographers.
Yeah.
But this time I found out that you did write every single song.
Yeah.
There was no partner in crime for the writing process.
Yeah. Well, I've never written with anybody.
Yeah.
Like somebody else will write a song.
Yeah. In the same room, but his own song.
Yeah. But I mean, but we never do it together. It's like we just bring in, you know, you'd bring in a song and go, here's my song. And
I wanted to know a little more about that very moment because all these other musicians in the band, you know, they have their solo careers, they have their other bands, they're super experienced musicians. Nico Case is with you, you know, there are superstars in there. How do you present the first demo of a new song to them? Is it like really fucking finished to the last kind of like, do you try to leave an open world for Nico and the others?
Or definitely leaving an open world because I know it's all going to change. like these days, I don't even bother finishing this song.
Okay, cool.
Like I'll just bring it in half written.
Okay.
Because even if I think I'm done, I'm never done.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about it. And sometimes I'll just start with a click track. And that, like talking about like that beat, that like that was it. Like I'd start a demo and I'd think, what's the drum machine going to do? And I'd go, and I go, that works. And then
he called Nico.
Yeah. I'd pull the song, you know, a lot of it was me and John, our bass player. He does a lot of the production and a massive amount of it is just us just sitting in the studio, messing around with it, just manipulating sounds. And that's the stuff I love the most.
But that's cool, though. It must be so nice as a composer to be like, oh, yeah, I have this and that idea for a song, and I'll take it as far as I can, and then I'll take it to the others. And then they'll be happy to work on that very song, and I'm out of ideas now, but they'll definitely have some more. It's great.
And there's a good back and forth thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can say, hey, I don't know what to do here. How about you? Like Catherine, who sings and plays keyboards. At one point, I just sent her a song because she has a studio in her house. And I just said, do something cool. like I don't know what you should sing here or what play here, but just do something cool. And, you know, and I got it back and I thought, oh, this is great. I like what you did here. So it's good to work with people that you trust.
Yeah. But I mean, after almost 20 years of playing together, it's good that there's a certain amount of trust now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
it helps to stay together for a longer time.
Yeah. And I think there's that trust that lets you embarrass yourself or be wrong in front of somebody.
Yeah.
Where you'll try something in front of them and go, that was terrible. Let's forget of it. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you're not comfortable with somebody, it can be very self-conscious trying to be creative because you
censor yourself.
Yeah. You're really putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do.
Yeah. You have to trust another person if you want to talk about your feelings and your,
and you have to, and in, to a certain degree, you have to not trust yourself. Like if you're feeling down on yourself, you have to remember, like, you're not thinking clearly.
True.
Like, let somebody else, like, play for somebody else and see what they think, because you don't necessarily know good from bad.
Yeah, that's true. And doubt can be a good thing if you use a little bit of that to perfectionize the song. But if it's a bit too much doubt, you won't ever finish the song because you're like, oh, it's shit, I'm not a good composer anymore. I've lost my
edge. You'll just go to bed and never. You'll just do a Brian Wilson.
Yeah, forever.
Just go to your sandbox and
LSD, a little LSD, and then 10 years of Brian Wilson.
Yes, exactly.
that's a way to do it, but I'm glad that you didn't go that way.
I haven't gotten that phase.
That's so good.
I hope I don't get to that phase.
No, please don't. We're happy to have you here, and we're happy to have you on stage tonight. By the way, who's with you tonight? Is it the whole band? Is everybody on tour with you? Or
No, well, that
never happens, right?
No. Nico's not here, but I mean, it's basically everybody else and our friend... Our friend Simi Stone is playing with us, who's really amazing. Like, she plays like violin, an awesome singer. It feels like a crazy lineup because, like, we have about five or six people singing, which I feel like we've never had. So it's possible to do those like crazy sort of big five part harmony things which I really love doing it, and I feel like For the first time, I think we're figuring out how to do it live instead of just in the studio.
It's a krautrock gospel thing that's going to happen tonight.
Exactly.
That's nice. So what's up for you next? Are you going to work on AC Newman solo stuff? Or?
I don't think so. Probably another Pornographer's record. And if I do something else, I don't know what form it will take. But I don't think a solo album.
Okay, cool.
I don't know. A lot of what I'm working on now, I feel like I'm just like cutting up and manipulating songs. Like, I'll write a song, but then I just want to like dismantle it.
Okay.
And so I don't know what the hell to do with that. Maybe that's what the next Pornographer's
you'll be a remixer. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't want it to sound like a remix.
Yeah, it's interesting though. I mean, and that's the cool thing if you think about, or if you care about, or if you inform yourself about a new genre or an old school genre, but you rediscover it and then you rediscover the techniques that they've used, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's such an inspiring thing to keep your eyes open. And
well, I think that's pop music over the last, whatever, 60 years has just been people combining things together.
True.
You know, it's like, hey, let's take rock and roll and combine it with gospel, or let's take the blues and combine it with gospel, or let's take punk and cross it with reggae, or you know,
metal and rap was big in the 90s as well, right?
So, and there's still, and I feel like there's still like room to do that, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like, let's sound like Adam and the Ants, and let's also sound like, I don't know, you know, Metallica.
So now this is the recipe for the next Pornographer song.
Adam and the Ants meets Metallica.
James Hetfield and the Ants.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for visiting us, Carl. I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show.
Thank you.
And for the rest of the year, for whatever you've planned. And as soon as you come back to Berlin, you visit us again, we talk a bit more.
Okay, nice talking to you.
Carl Newman war bei mir im Studio von den New Pornographers. Die spielen heute Abend im Lido und für dieses Konzert darf ich Tickets verlosen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Carl hat uns schon versprochen, es sind 5 Leute dabei, die singen können heute. Das heißt, es wird die eine oder andere Harmony geben auf der Bühne. Ich habe es scherzhafterweise Krautrock-Gospel genannt. Aber es wird noch mehr sein und noch schöner heute Abend bei den New Pornographers. Tickets gibt's unter 030 2000 9000 und im Lido an der Abendkasse kann man es ja unter Umständen auch nochmal versuchen. Thank you, Carl. See you next time. Bye bye.
Thank you.